Let's head back to Oddsall, where I imagine it's very quiet, Gary, because everyone was leaving with about, 15 minutes to go on that one.
Oh, there was indeed. The Bulls fans, they were leaving in the hundreds, Richard, to be honest with you. But the Halifax fans, they stayed. They were absolutely delighted celebrating with a great victory and cementing the place in the top four. And I think it's four on the trot now against the Bulls.
Yeah, which is not bad because they are, I guess, one of the traditional rival sides. And you've got to say well done to them and to Batley as well, because that's two semi-pro sides. Although, you know, Halifax have got plenty of quality players, as we saw from their running the top four and into the middle eights last season. But that's still two semi-pro sides who've above a fully professional side in Bradford.
Absolutely, and I say, but I like Halifax as a side, and they're very well coached by Richard Marshall. But what he's got a team here who, you know, there's no egos in there, and the team spirit, what they've got, and you can see at times when the defence the high fives. I think we saw that at the Summer Bastards a few weeks ago, didn't we, when against Feversham, and the team spirit, what they've got, and the appreciation of the teammates when they do these sort of big things, and everybody gets involved. But when you've got the quality, certainly at the halfback, you've got Scott Morrell just singing around the field, and Gareth Moore with his game and management. But the pack of forwards always lay the foundation. But also what Richard Marshall lets his guys do, he lets them play with that vision and awareness, and if it's on, then they play what they see, and he encourages that, and that's what I like to see. And Halifax today, certainly with the ball movement, just absolutely found Bradford out from a defensive point of view, and very much well played, and they deserve this 32-24 victory. To be honest with you, the scoreline flattened the Bulls because they scored two late tries with 2 minutes to go.
And you mentioned, well, we saw them at the Summer Bash when they absolutely demolished Featherstone in that game, and you know, for all intents and purposes, Halifax looked like making it for the second year row into the top four, which is a great achievement for the club.
Oh, it is. It's a great achievement. And as I say, they'll give it a shake-up. You know, they know the limitations. They know where they are, Halifax. They're not a team or a club, I should say, where, you know, well, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for the million-pound game. They'll take every game as it comes. And if they're there and thereabouts, then they'll give it a shake, Richie. Don't worry about that, because they play at times off the cuff of the league, and teams and coaches, they don't like that because they don't know how to defend against it. It's as simple as that.
Certainly, it sounds like they've got some players in there who could play at the higher level as well.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they wouldn't look out of place playing in Super League, and, you know, it's a squad members, and if they got the opportunity, they would be an asset to any team.
As for Bradford, we've given plenty of praise to Halifax there, but it's another coach. It's the same set of players. I know they've brought in a couple of loan signings in the last few weeks, but they're still struggling, Bradford.
They're a mile off, Richard. They're an absolute mile off. And I say, when you look at this side, you say, well, yeah, they look pretty impressive, but you know, they're clueless in attack. The forwards at times were no purpose, and at times it was all the backs who was doing the driving. And me and Matt in commentary a couple of times was asking what the Bulls forwards were doing. It was the backs who was doing the hard yards for them. And no, they're an absolute mile off for. And I say they may scrape into the top four with a go to Lee next week, where you don't expect them to get the 2 points there. So the pressure's going to be on the Bulls in the last two games to qualify for the four, but. As far as being anywhere near Super League, they're an absolute mile off, and the way they're playing, at times, it's boring and it's clueless. Simple as that.
Well, no, this week we don't have to talk about the Leeds Rhinos, because obviously they haven't played this week, but we've spoken plenty of times this season about Leeds' recruitment, and surely that question's got to be asked about Bradford as well.
Oh, of course it has. Absolutely. And as I say, I know Mark Wilson, our main man at Radio Yorkshire, keeps telling us that's quite simple. The Bulls haven't had any halfbacks, and it's as simple as that. And, you know, Danny Addy and they brought the kid in over from St Helens in Lewis Charnock. Well, not for mine, not good enough. And they're absolutely clueless. And there were no leadership out there. With anybody looking for inspiration, it just wasn't happening. And I tell you, the coach, Ronald Smith, he's got a huge job on to get the Bulls into the top four. There's no two ways about that.
And I guess that's the obvious difference between the two sides then this afternoon, in Scott Morrell and Stephen Tyra. They've got players who are leaders, and those are just the two obvious examples to pick out from the commentary.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I say, and the impact off the bench as well from Luke Campbell and Ed Barber from there, and also two big Ryan Ball, the impact what they had. And when the Bulls made the changes, quite simply, there was no impact whatsoever. But again, another head scratcher for mine was, you know, Adam O'Brien. I've seen Adam O'Brien play now for the last 2 years or so, and he's an 80-minute player, and he was the best player for the Bulls in the first 20 minutes. Then he drags him off, and then he only brings him on for the last 13 minutes. Again, it's a big head scratcher from coach Ronald Smith why he's keeping one of his best players out of the game for so long.
Well, is that then an example, perhaps, for a player who is a victim of a coaching philosophy, if you will, that you don't have the player in that position for the full 80 minutes.
Well, I think maybe as well. The coach might not like him as a player. You know, I've known it for plenty of time. But if you face him and it doesn't matter how good a player you are, Richie, then you're just not going to get the game time, what you deserve and what you want. But surely, you know, the chairman or Steve Ferris or Robbie Hunter-Paulo, who are the directors here, they know how important Adam O'Brien is to this side. Surely they should say to the coach, hey, listen, you know, O'Brien plays. It's as simple as that. Simple as that.
We heard Matt Horton in commentary earlier talk about he was working on the wanting to win this game on Friday alongside the league coach Neil Dukes. They went to London today and won 38-12. They were 28-0 up at halftime, so actually lost the second half to London, but not that they'd be too concerned about that in terms of the result. But 5 points clear at the top of the table, and he was saying that perhaps first not the best place to be in terms of how the fixtures fall in the middle eights, but I guess Lee and Neil Dukes and all the coaching staff there, who seems to increase on a week-by-week basis, know that they have to do what they didn't do last year, which was completely choke when they get to the qualifiers.
Absolutely, and they would have learned a hell of a lot from last year. There's no doubt about that, because everybody was saying, well, Lee, yeah, they're going to be in £1 million game, and they quite simply the bottled it, didn't they? You know, so they would have learned a hell of a lot from last year, and we all know the expectation, what they're putting themselves, so... Yeah, Dukes, he has said, you know, we're finishing second, it maybe make it easier for ourselves, but they want to finish top of the pile. They've learnt a hell of a lot from last year, and yeah, they could be a threat. There's no two ways about that.
Well, with four games left, it'd be very difficult for them not to finish top of the table, especially when next Sunday we'll be there at the Lee Sports Village, and they take on Bradford. And with I know Bradford had that good run of results up to today's game, but disappointing, and that's going to be, that could be a big defeat for them next week.
Oh, it could be. There's no doubt about that. And say we know that Lee, you know, they are very aggressive in defence, and I say they've got that creativity in their side there. And well, it won't be for sure here from the Bradford Bulls forwards that they're going to get absolutely battered next week if they don't turn up with the right attitude. Because, and I say that's what Lee build their foundation on there. And what I've seen with the Bradford Bulls forwards here today, there's nothing coming from there. And there wasn't any purpose in any sort of enthusiasm or intimidation to the Halifax pack. And that's what made the job quite easier for Halifax. So they're in for a big game. And as I say, the Lee forwards, when they see the video of this game, they'll be thinking, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this, because quite clearly the Bulls pack of forwards was very disappointing. And there just wasn't any purpose about them, Richie. And even at times when they got themselves a Deerfield, there wasn't any organisation, there wasn't any shape to the sort of, you know, the sort of ball movement, what you're looking for. Very, very disappointing. And I say, if that's the way Ronan Smith's coaching him, well, I'll tell you what, mate, he won't be too long in this job. I can reassure you, he will not be too long in this job.
Well, the good news is the Gary Schofield fan club's out on Twitter this evening. Andy from the Wakefield branch say something very disrespectful to you. He thinks there's more chance of you perhaps losing a bit of weight than Bradford finishing the top four, which is a bit harsh.
Oh, Wakefield fans, if you want me to turn on your club, don't worry about that. It's not an issue for me. If you want me to, you know, to start saying you'll get beat every week, and if you start, I will do. It doesn't matter to me.
There are far worse tipsters out there in the rugby league media than yourself, Gary.
And, of course he is. You know, at the end of the day, it's only somebody's opinion. And
what you should do, Gary, is tip draws every week, and then no one would be upset. Every game's going to be a draw.
Richie, I'm not boring like a lot of the other pundits out there, I can reassure you. Hey, listen, Richie, if I was boring, you wouldn't employ me, would you?
Well, no, that's true. That is true. We're not the other one.
Come on, Wakefield. Listen, Wakefield fans, come on. Listen, right?
Should be happy. Like, everyone should be happy at the moment.
Of course. Wakefield, of course, they should be. And I say, not just myself, but everybody in the game, the job what Chris Chesson has done, the job with Michael Carr bringing Chris Chesson there, they've done a great job. And over the last, the 3 months, the way I've been praising Wakefield, the way you have, and the way Mark, well, and everybody on Radio Yorkshire, and even the game have. But just because at times where we think, and last week, yeah, I'll explain myself here, last week, Huddersfield, they sat the coach in Paul Anderson, and from a player's point of view, you get a response. That's what Huddersfield got at Salford there. And then Wakefield beat Huddersfield, 2 weeks ago there? So you're thinking, Huddersfield, yeah, they're looking for revenge at home. It's a Challenge Cup quarter-final. And I'm thinking, yeah, there's going to be a big response here. And yeah,
well, it should have been, shouldn't it? Because that their season was on the line.
Yeah, absolutely, Rich. The season was on the line then. You're thinking, well, yeah, Huddersfield, surely now, you know, they're looking to turn the corner. They've got what they've wanted. They've got the coach sacked. The players are going to turn out there. But They say it's only an opinion, and from me, from being a Leeds man, a Leeds supporter, and saying to Wakefield fans, listen, very much well done. I'm delighted for your supporters. I'm delighted for your club. I'm delighted for Chris Chester. I'm delighted for Michael Carter that you're in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, and I want you to get to Wembley. It's as simple as that. So don't take it to heart. Sometimes, if I say you're going to get beat, don't take it to heart, please.
Andy was only joking. He says, "Let's go to beats. Respect his tips, and long may they continue." Go on, Gary Saints by 20, please.
All support, whichever ground I go to, Richard says, "Scoey, please stop tipping us because we get beat when you tip it. Is it my fault? Surely the players don't read my tips in order."
Well, it's either you or the RFL are at fault, isn't it? So it's one or the other. Anyway, it was funny how Chris Chester, the first thing he says to Mark Wilson in the interview is, Gary got it wrong again.
Well, I tell you what, Rich, it proves that they listen to radio shows and also to the read columns, don't they? It just proves that. But at the end of the day, mate, you know as well as I do, we're all entitled to an opinion, and that's all I give. I don't say hurtful things. All I do is give an opinion on what I say. And I tell you what, the opinion here, when I beat at Bradford, they're not making the top four. They're not making the top four, I can reassure you.
Well, let's get the negative out of the way from Thursday night and that game between Wakefield and Huddersfield. In so much as, now I'm not a person who can come on and criticise players because I'm not playing at the top level and I'm just sit there and watch, but there were times when I thought you should be running a bit harder there. And you should be, and the Huddersfield players at times you thought there was that 15-minute spell before half time. And it's not that all Huddersfield players aren't giving everything. I think that'd be very unfair. But you look at some of the senior players and you think, are you doing enough here?
Hey, Rich, I'll tell you, I can give an opinion. And that performance was pathetic. That performance was absolutely pathetic. And as I say, what Ken Davey said about them players, dishonest. That was a dishonest performance. That was a cheaty performance. And as I've said, and I'm not holding back here, I am not holding back with them Huddersfield players, because Ken Davey, he does not deserve a performance like that. And the Blend players, them players have got what they wanted. They've got the coach sacked. And as I said about Paul Anderson, he has been very lenient with them players with their performances this season, because at times it has been gutless. It has been clueless. And when you looked at that performance on, take nothing away from Wakefield. Wakefield played pretty well. Yeah. But when you looked at that Huddersfield Giants performance, it was absolutely pathetic. And I'll tell you what, to be honest with you, I feel sorry for Andy Kelly. Why does Andy Kelly deserve performances like that? Ken David doesn't deserve performances like that. And most of all, the Huddersfield Giants supporters don't deserve that. Supporters will tell you, and even pundits like myself who even watch, if you get beaten by the better side, but if you give an 100% effort, then you don't mind that. I'll tell you what, that on Thursday night was absolutely gutless. And then players, not as a team, but as individuals, have a look at yourself. Just have a look at yourself in that mirror and say, well, am I doing my best here? Because quite clearly they're not. And as I've said before the game kicked off here today, Richie, it's quite simple. Go to Ken Davey and say, I don't want to play here, because Ken will just say, well, see you later then. Ken Davey does not deserve the sort of performances and then players who are putting that Giants shirt on. It's as simple as that.
And as we saw last year with Hull KR, you get to a semi-final, anything can happen.
Absolutely. You know, and I say the Challenge Cup is the biggest cup competition in World Rugby League. Everybody wants to be part of the Challenge Cup. Every supporter, every director, every player, even referees want to be involved in a Challenge Cup final. And as I say, that Giants performance on Thursday was absolutely pathetic.
Here's the positive bit. By the way, Andy says you were a pleasure to watch in your prime.
Oh, fantastic, thank you very
player,
much, Andy.
But not a good tipster. Not quite a word of youth. Never take me to the races with him. That's all right. You're not invited. And Bro Wildcat says, welcome to my world, Gary. My sister has banned me from Trinity because they lose when I go. So you're banned from the semi-final, Bro Wildcat. You can't
well,
go.
Richie, as I said, the Trinity fans will be delighted tomorrow when they see you, when they will see the last tackle and they look at the cameras on there, because I'm sure there'll be pictures taken from Radio Yorkshire tomorrow in the Wakefield shirt. I've got six on the back and score on the back. So I'm a Wakefield fan now, and Wakefield fans, I want you to get to Wembley. But should I really say this, Richie? I'm tipping Wakefield to beat Warrington in the semi-final.
Oh,
now I'm going to get loads of more stick by the Wakefield fans. matter. So Wakefield fans, I'm telling you, and I know Michael Carter will come on now, Chris Cecil, oh, don't tip. I'm Wakefield fans, I'm telling you, right, I'm tipping you to win the semi-final by 7, and that's 5 weeks before the game starts. So there you go, Wakefield fans.
7. Got enough time to lay it before then. speaking of the Wakefield performance, we Brian McDermott said the week before perhaps Leeds need wet weather conditions to play, and perhaps Wakefield is dry weather conditions, because nice pitch at the John Smith Stadium, and Tom Johnson's been quiet in recent weeks, but Craig Murdoch was on commentary with us. He picked up that ball from the interception, and Murdoch said, you know, he didn't really get out of second gear for that one, and I think it's more than fair to describe it as that. It was a good try from him. And David Fifita, we saw his debut last week against Leeds. What a complete opposite performance that was this week, with two tries. And I think, as Mark pointed out in that game against Leeds, he's a prop forward who is a big fella, and he doesn't run at the little ones, does he? He runs straight at the big blokes.
He does. He, I say, it's not taken him a long time, certainly, has it? And no, he was outstanding, as we say. We saw the debut the week before, and a little bit indisciplined, come up with mistakes, but yeah, settled down very well. And at the end of the day, Richie, what you require as well when you're playing in big games, and certainly quarterfinals, semi-finals, finals, you want your big game players. You want your big players. You know, to turn up and play in big games, and that's exactly what Fifita did. He led by example. The players followed around him, and overall, it was an outstanding performance. And Tom Johnson, okay, he hasn't had much opportunities over the last 3 or 4 weeks, but when he does get them opportunities, he's going to finish them, and that's exactly what he did on Thursday night. But yeah, Wakefield well and truly deserved that victory, and well and truly deserved to be in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup.
They've got a great back three now in terms of under the high ball, with Ben Jones-Bishop, Max Giant, who is superb at fullback, and Tom Johnston on the wing is certainly improving defensively. And the other thing which they didn't have the week before against Leeds was plenty of go forward in the pack, which meant that Jacob Miller and especially Liam Finn were able to control the game. And and that was a performance without Nick Scruton, without Danny Kermond, who's now out of hospital, and Mika Seaman. So the props and the second row really stood up in that game as well.
Yeah, they did, absolutely. And again, it's a coach who's getting the best out of his players, and he trusts his players, does Chris, and they like playing for him. It's as simple as that. We've all seen the huge difference in Wakefield since Brian Smith has gone. And yeah, they're an attractive side. They've got some good team spirit there and some good individuals. But I tell you what, one kid who I like is Ashurst. I like Matty Ashurst. I think he just, you know, he's under the 10%, and you get what you see from Matty Ashurst. But no, got a very well balanced side there, and everybody's enjoying playing for Chris Chester.
Now, unfortunately, Castlewood went out last night. You were there at the DW Stadium, and Wigan were ruthless. Got their opportunities and took every single one of them, pretty much.
They did indeed. It was the best certainly half what I've seen Wigan play all season. You know, they took the opportunity, the creativeness was there, and I thought as well, Sam Tompkins, he's getting back to something like his best. And you know, it's okay, it's a bit of a soft miss on Millington, on Tompkins from there, but I felt as though his defence and his field positioning when bringing the ball back was outstanding. And yeah, for the first half it was all Wigan, and I say 22-0, you're not really going to come back from there. But yeah, Castleford in the first half had opportunities, and you know, Luke Dawn just dragged back there, great scrambler defence, Ben Crutt scrambler defence, and then Millington himself, he took his eye off the ball, where you felt as though if it had passed the ball it would have been another try. But yeah, just missed opportunities. But at the end of the day, you know, if you don't take them opportunities and against anybody, then you're going to get beat, and you can't afford to give anybody a 22 point start.
There's no point in us talking about the video referee thing, is there? Because it's just a nonsense.
No. Yeah. Pathetic. No, I don't want to talk about it. Pathetic. Absolutely.
Let's go back to the old system. Why change it? Wigan obviously through, and they will play Hull, who saw off the Catalan Dragons. And you know, speaking as a Wakefield supporter, that's the perfect draw for me. I don't want to play Wigan or Hull in the semi-final, because they've got big packs who might beat you up. But that should be a hell of a battle at Doncaster on the Friday night.
Yeah, it will be. And as I say, the way that Wigan play, they love to dominate in the forward pack and get the numbers in the tackles. And we all know the size of the whole pack there. So, yeah, that's going to be very, very dominant. So it's going to be quite interesting, because at times, you know, with Wigan this year, yeah, they were at the best for 40 minutes yesterday. George Williams and Mike Smith from a creative point of view, and Sneed and Tumavavi. So, yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting game. I just hope it's not, you know, where it's going to be just hit the ball up and play for field position, look to maybe play the back off penalties or look for mistakes from that point of view. And I'm just hoping it could be an attractive game in semi-final. But the way the both teams are playing, I think it could be a pretty tight game. I think this game could go something about 13-8, 12-10, something like that, to be honest with you. But, Wakefield, well, they'll be happy with Warrington, because Warrington, they like to throw the ball around a bit. There's a few mistakes in them. They're not as dominant around the ruck area and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's the ideal tie for Wakefield. And as I've said, Richie, I'm tipping Wakefield to win the semi-final by 7 points. Have you got that, Wakefield fans? By 7 points. You know what, Warrington fans will be delighted, won't they?
Are you tipping a Wakefield Hull final now? Because I was talking about that, pretty much since day one this season.
Well, you said that, yeah. Wakefield Hull final, that'll do for me, Rich. Will do for me, absolutely.
Warrington Wigan then at Wembley in August. Andy's tweeted, two blokes to thanks for Wakefield's resurgence this season, Brian Smith and Neil Hudgel. I think this is for me, so... tongue stuck in his cheek there. We should talk about Batley, because another big win for them, 18-16 over Dewsbury. They're another team who know how to scrap out victories, and they are the story of the Championship this season, because they're in the top four, they're a point clear of Bradford. You know, we've got four games left here. They could still make this top four and be in the qualifiers.
Of course, good. Wouldn't it be a great story as well? Yeah. It would be an absolutely great story. And as I say, I hope they do make it. You know, it'd be a great money maker for them as well. Is it three home games to get from there? Whichever teams are going to get if they make the top four. Great story. And I say, you wouldn't bet against them. You know, John Key's got the lads rolling pretty well. They've got that self-belief, plenty of confidence. So, yeah, keep going, Batley. It'd be a great story for Rugby League.
And next weekend, Super League is back. Thursday, we're at Huddersfield versus Hull, and if Huddersfield's players don't stand up and be counted, then Hull, having seen them in the last few weeks, they could get absolutely steamrolled on Thursday, couldn't they?
Oh, they will. There's no doubt about that. So, it's a big head scratcher. Do you know what? If I was the head coach there at Huddersfield, I'd just be saying to the players, listen, sort this out yourself. I want you to come back. You come back with the right attitude. I don't, I couldn't care less really about you as individuals. I just wanted to come back here with the right attitude as rugby league players, because if not, I'll find it out. And you know the big thing, Richie? You know one of the big things? I was mentioning to Mark Wilson on his way to the DW. Because there's no A team now, right? Because there's no A team, none of them players can get dropped. It just makes the job so harder for Andy Kelly, because I can reassure you, I would imagine Andy Kelly would not pick any of them players from last Thursday. They'd all be playing the A team and give players opportunities to put that giant shirt on and give 100%. It's as simple as that.
Can't disagree with that. Salford-Castleford, our game on Friday. And Castleford obviously trying to bounce back from the disappointment of the Challenge Cup against the Salford side, who, we'll find out if they get their points back sooner rather than later. But what's that, three defeats in a row for Salford. So a good opportunity for Castleford to end their losing streak as well.
Yeah, it is, and as Darryl Powell said in the interview after the game yesterday, you know, now they've got to refocus on the league campaign. You know, to say they was pretty hopeful of maybe getting to the semi-final, and it just didn't happen. We maybe not taking their opportunities, but refocus now there. And yeah, Castleford, you know, that any chance of maybe trying to close in on the top four, yeah, they've got to go to Salford and get the 2 points there on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm looking at the other fixtures from the weekend. We've got Hull KR versus Warrington, Catalans versus Wigan on the Saturday night, and then two Super League games on Sunday. Wakefield take on St Helens, which is 6th versus 5th, so conceivably Wakefield could go level on points with the Saints after that one. And a rare Sunday at Headingley for Leeds Rhinos versus Widnes, which if they win, and we assume that Huddersfield lose to Hull, Leeds could be off the bottom of the table.
Hey,
three wins in a row could be.
Hip hip hooray, Richie. Hip hip hooray. I think it's a cricket on Friday night, so that's why they're playing on Sunday there. So, but Widnes are not on a bad side, are they? You know, there's no better place. If you're going to go to an away ground where there's a facility, what are there, then, let's say, Widnes Hill come with plenty of confidence, but Leeds, they know they got tonked at Widnes Hill in the season, so they'll be looking for revenge themselves. So, fingers crossed, it's 3 in a row for Leeds, and they're off the bottom of the league for the first time for many weeks.
What's in the column tomorrow, Gary?
It's all about halfbacks tomorrow, and it would be quite interesting because what I've done, the halfbacks, who's the best halfbacks from from 1 to 12, and so I would imagine the halfback pairings will be having a look tomorrow to see where I put them, and I never guess who's bottom.
It's not Wakefield, is it?
No. It's about the halfbacks and what role they'll do and that sort of thing, the importance, what they are to the teams, and from 1 to 12. And so, yes. And can you guess who's bottom of the pile? You want me to tell you?
Yeah, go on.
Who played on Thursday night?
Oh yeah,
they played like crabs. They played, and I've said that tomorrow. They played like crabs. They created absolutely nothing. There was no vision, awareness, too slow. Yeah, Danny Brough and Jamie Ellis. Simple as that.
Yeah, you got a bit of stick for describing Danny Brough as being playing like Wally Lewis. I think people took that a bit literally.
Oh, it's tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? You know, because everybody knows that there's been an issue between him and Paul Anderson. And I know myself, when a coach gets a sack, you know, at times you haven't liked that coach. And from being dull and being a little bit miserable, you get a smile at... A smile like a Cheshire cat, and yeah, he's just saying, well, yeah, he'll play like Wally Lewis. He's nowhere near to play like Wally Lewis, is he? They ain't anybody who has been, to be honest with you, Richie. You know, so I hope people didn't take that as a serious comment. Not
no,
a
of course they did. For someone who only played 10 games for Wakefield, he's held in very high regard by this, well, as he should be, of course. But
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's an interesting column tomorrow. Very interesting. It is, and as you mentioned, Richie said about yourself, well, you haven't played at the highest level, and you know about the opinion. Well, I reckon I'm intact to my opinion regarding halfbacks, how they should play, and what they should be doing on the rugby league field. So it's a very interesting column tomorrow. It is.
Oh, well, we'll see who you upset. That's the main thing.
I'm only being open and honest, Richie. That's all I'm being.
As I always say, it's the second thing I read after I've read the letters page to see who slagged you off.
I wonder how many I'll get in there tomorrow.
Right? All Wakefield fans, you're all right. Oh, well, we'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday as the rain started here at Elland Road. So
yeah, it is here at Bradford as well. It is here at Bradford.
A metaphor for the Bradford performance. But Gary, we shall see you again tomorrow at 6 o'clock for another 2 hours of Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Richie, you will. It's a pleasure. See you soon.